We're doing a series right now on, the idea is protection. How do you, and it's more than just protection. How do you grow strong? I believe growing strong spiritually is a great protection. And if you read, it's like, going out into the cold. If it's 5 degrees and there's snow everywhere, you're not going to go out in a swimming suit and walk around for an hour. You're gonna put layers of clothes on, and you're gonna probably have boots on and gloves on and everything else, and you're going to give protection. Now that's just simple, things that we know that we need to do, and I believe that God has given to us spiritual truth and protection. Well, as a matter of fact, in 1 John, listen, I don't know if you do homework or not, or if you like that, but I want to just give you homework tonight. I really do. It's the book of 1 John, and it doesn't make any difference where you're coming from. Listen, I know that there are those who are more into other streams of spirituality and psychics and remote viewers, but I want to encourage you to go to the central source where the uncreated, infinite Spirit of God has given over a period of 1,600 years, through 40 different writers from 3 different continents and 3 different languages, God has given the Scripture, the Grapha. I'm going to tell you right now that the Scripture is said to be alive, that it's living, that it's animated with the presence of God. Now, listen, if anybody has read Alice Bailey's material, if you've been into Nostradamus, if you've looked at Edgar Casey, and you've read, Helena Blavatsky and others, you realize that those are Spirit-inspired writings, but not by the Spirit of God. And so today it's vital that we understand the difference. It's vital that we understand the difference. Whatever's coming down from fallen, finite spirits, because of their nature and because of their will and because of the agenda, they cannot, they will not direct you to the face and the heart of God, to the doorway that God has made that you can know God directly. They can't. They won't. Their agenda is against it. But there is the Spirit of God, uncreated, eternal Spirit of God. And the work of the Spirit of God supernaturally in the world is to bring Christ to the world. And I was reading the other day about in China, where the gospel's been presented. Some estimate now up to 300 million believers there. Hey, all over the world right now, wherever you're listening, I want you to know this may be a divine moment, a divine hour, a divine appointment for you right now. Because I'm telling you, and from the motivation, the very reason that I'm here is this compelling love of God. I'm just going to tell you, God loves you, God knows you, God does want you. Wherever you're at, in the midst of the spiritual confusion, in the midst of a fallen world where from behind the scenes we sometimes get beat up and wounded and hurt, like Job, and the dark side wants us to always blame God, become bitter, become angry, and if he can't get us there, it's to divert us with some kind of false prophecy or false word or something else, an alternative spiritual stream. That's what's being offered. So it's not just a world in which, there's just one message, one voice that God is just speaking. I mean, God is. But there's an alternative. That's why it's a battlefield that manifests into the physical world. The spiritual battle is predicted to move in such a way in politics, globalism, and future war that we will see war on earth as never before in human history. We will see the destruction of humanity as never before in human history. Now, you can look at the prophecies of Webbot. You can look at the prophecies of Nostradamus, Edgar Casey. You can look at all of the other areas. You can look at Ed Dames. They've called him Dr. Doom. Well, let me ask you a question. I want to ask, what is the source of the revelation of the prophecies. Now, one thing's for sure, all these prophecies, even the Mayan prophecies and what they're talking about, everybody's talking about chaos. Everybody's talking about catastrophe. Everybody's talking about the end of things. And so things are winding down. We're not just in the fourth quarter. We might be in the 2-minute warning. And again, I'm going to be here to tell you, I'm not here to exaggerate. I'm here to look at biblical revelation, to look at biblical prophetic revelation, and to look at the timetable. Because God has given us an accurate heads up. He's given us accurate data that has never failed in the past. When God said that a virgin would be a child, it occurred 700 years later. When God said Emmanuel would come into the world, God in human flesh, it happened 700 years later. When God said that the Holy One, Christ, would not see decay, the resurrection, 1,000 years in advance, that's what occurred. And you could look at over 300 of those kind of absolutely amazing prophecies that have been given, that have been fulfilled concerning the first coming. Now, there's a whole host of those for the second. But I'm going to tell you this when we look into truth tonight. I want you to hear this, okay? Because you got to get real clear. There's more information about God giving us insight about Satan's sequence and evolution and his events and his development, what he is going to do in the world. There's more information about that than there is the rapture and the millennium and the final great white throne judgment seat all put together. So it's very important that we have a systematic approach to our looking at prophecy. So I'm going to tell you right now, there's probably many of you that are listening that have heard of prophecies and you're looking. I would say that many of you have felt like I have for years. Something is happening. There's something in the air. By the way, tonight, if you want to while we're live right now, if you do have a question or if you want to send a question prior to the show's beginnings, you can send it to shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, and we'll try to respond to you during the time of the show. Now, when the show is over, you know, there's two other appointments I'm going to go to, so I'm not always able to get back to emails right after the show, but we'll try to get to them. I just want you to know that, as you're listening, no matter where you're at, I think that there is, I really do, I think there is a spiritual clash that is going on. There's sometimes when we do these broadcasts, no doubt Steve has experienced it, he told me he has, where there's been battle and warfare over trying to get the message out. Now, as we've been starting this week's series on how to protect yourself and really how to become very strong and powerful in these days, we're dealing with knowing danger, knowing truth, knowing power, and knowing God. And tonight is simply knowing truth. Now, when we talk about truth, it's from the Greek word anyway, the New Testament, aletheia. It has the idea of absolute truth, honesty, the purity of that truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says of itself that it is the word of truth. When we talk about God the Holy Spirit, he's referred to as the Spirit of truth. So in the world today, there is information coming out. There is revelation coming out. There are now hundreds and hundreds of remote viewers all over our nation that are allowing what they've called the collective unconscious or the Akashic records, the hall of records. They're allowing data from there that they're kind of like linking to it, tapping into it, letting stuff filter down into them to show them things, to remote view things, But see, here's part of it, and I've dealt with a few remote viewers that said, well, we can remote view the past and we can remote view the future. Is that right? What about the issue of accuracy? The issue of accuracy is an issue of truth. Just because a remote viewer or a psychic may get 15%, 20%, 30%, 50% accurate insight to what they think is a future event or something else. Please realize you're dealing with, again, it's like a half-truth. You're dealing with pieces. You're finding out that most of it is not accurate. And it's very important for us to then say, listen, where do we want to, you know, receive our revelation from? Where do we want to get that insight from? And it's very important in the day that we're living, like in the days of the early church. Well, did you know 2,000 years ago, alternative spiritual streams immediately started. As Christ came into the world, the church was formed, the power of the Spirit of God came, things began to go, hundreds of thousands began to give their hearts and lives to Christ. By the time you come to Antioch, where the believers were called Christians, which literally was meaning, these are like the Christ. These are like that Christ. Well, the neat thing about it all was this, that they understood that real believers, human beings that had turned to the living Christ, were being impacted, receiving the Spirit of God. And you got to realize, everybody coming to Christ in those days, they were coming out of belief systems that they already had. They were coming out of spiritual, like look at the Temple of Delphi in Corinth. Look at the spiritual atmosphere in Ephesus or Colossae. They were all coming out of where they had already been worshipers. Worshipers in some other format. Some other spirit. Some other God with a small g. Now, what's happening nowadays is the same thing. Everybody's becoming spiritual. Everybody's into something spiritual. Back in the late 60s and the early 70s, I told everybody, hey, I'm a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. Because I was into all kinds of spiritual books and occult books and into Golden Buddha. And I was experiencing things. But again, I'm going to say and confess to you that it didn't lead me to God. Because again, fallen spirits cannot give you the truth. Jesus said about that kingdom and about the leader, Satan himself, that no, listen, this is very important. If you're a seeker, if you're an honest seeker. Back in Jesus' days, I saw a bumper sticker once that said, wise men still seek him. That's pretty powerful. And I think that if you're, you know, somebody who's honest and you're a quester, you're a seeker, you're looking, then listen, I have no problem telling you, you know, the message. Why would you be afraid to hear the message of the real living Christ that Isaiah, that Ezekiel, that Samuel, that Moses, that Amos, that Jeremiah, that Daniel, that all these individuals led by the Spirit of Christ proclaimed his first coming. They proclaimed the coming of someone who was already eternal, but literally invisible to the fallen world, but would come into the world, the visible or the invisible God now, in visible form. And I hope that you'll take a few moments to think that through. For those who are saying, you know what, in a confusing world, you know, I don't know what to let my kids do. I don't know what to, you know, these people are coming to my door and you're hearing all kinds of radio shows and look at the mass billions of bits of information on the World Wide Web. Many of you are listening right now. And I'm going to say that it's very important that you also test the spirits when it comes to listening to me. I know what I confess, what I believe. I've walked with God for 35 years, I know. And all I can tell you is I'm loved. I already found the answer. I already found that. Not anything I've done. It's because of who he is. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through him. Now, that's what Jesus said, and you'll have to take a look at that. I was mentioning earlier that Jesus also revealed that other side of the fence. When he talked about Satan, he said that there's no truth dwelling in him. Got to understand that when this anointed cherub twisted and turned, a willful inward turning. And I want you to know the Hebrew word means that it was a violent, planned, willed turning. And in that process, there was a disintegration. I believe the entire genetics of the once anointed cherub completely changed. And that's why he's named different. That's why the names that are now revealed about that powerful, powerful once anointed cherub, now the names are Destroyer, Adversary, Deceiver, Tempter. That's why we read those now, because the names fit what his character is. And Jesus said concerning him, no truth. And that's true of all the demonic realm. I've never met a demon in any human being that we've cast out that has the truth. They hate the truth. They hate Christ. They hate God. They hate the Bible. Well, they hate people too, but they love to use them. So listen, if you're out there right now and you are in need, there is someone that the dark side knows has conquered all of what they are and is coming to bring a final annihilation. I'm going to be glad. Listen, I want them to catch the guy up there at Yale. Whoever did this to this young lady who was going to get married and took her life and stuffed her into a wall, that's an outrage. It's an outrage. This Greedo character that stole the 11-year-old girl and kept her for 18 years, outrage, man, outrage. Total outrage. And so we have to be outraged about these kind of things in this fallen world because... Listen, this dark sin code has entered humanity. This presence behind the scenes even makes it worse and guides humanity like John Wayne Gacy and Dahmer and all the rest into even deeper. I mean, literally, it's almost transmuting humans into demons in a way. Takes them so far to do what demons love to do. They revel in human blood and human sacrifice. They're here to destroy, to kill, to steal, to take. And I'm going to tell you right now that even Jesus Christ himself taught that Satan would come, like when the word of God is preached, even like tonight as we go into the book of 1 John. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now that the Bible teaches, Jesus said when he taught the parable of the sower, that the birds of the air, in reference to the satanic presence, that they would like to come along and steal the word of God, the revelation, the data, the information that comes out from God. That they want to steal that away from people so that they cannot be saved. Now, I want you to know this. I want you to know this because whatever country you're in, whatever city you're in, whatever condition you're in, there is literally an active battle for your soul. And God has done all at the cross. The other side, let me ask you a question. For the Satanists and Luciferians and those who are dark occultists, when has the demons sacrificed for you? And you don't see Satan going to the cross, but he'll send a lot of people there. Tonight, I want to encourage you to study the book of 1 John. If you're going to talk about truth, this is the book that was written, in the days of the early church. And one of the reasons for it being written was because of the deception, the seduction, and individuals that were guided by, again, false spirits were literally infiltrating, coming right into the church. They were speaking by the inspiration of a spirit. They were telling about spiritual, initiations and levels and a spiritual evolution that can lead you to deification. The early Nicolaitans, the early Gnostics, were a people that couldn't lead you to know God directly because they, dark spirits can't and won't. And so they offered something different. And the Spirit of God led John in those days to write what was true. And so it's kind of, again, pulling them back to the simplicity and the clarity of an infallible word that comes from God. So we either link up to what the fallen spirits have said, and there's doctrine, dogma. And after the break, we'll go into that. And when things come from the Spirit of God, there's teaching, didache, doctrine. And that's what the book of 1 John gives to us. We'll be back in a few moments. If you're listening to the archives right now, you are listening to Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. We're taking a break on Tuesday night in the middle of the hour. And so if there's a pause right now, we're just waiting for the break. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. We're back tonight. And listen, during that break time, some of you that get the archives, by the way, I know there's archives being up, and I want you to know again that, when you listen to the show sometimes, if you're listening to some of the archives down the road too, you're going to hear, you know, maybe a minute break or whatever else. Just hang in there, and we'll be right back. And we want to encourage you again to hear what Steve has to say about, you know, the sponsors of this show. And, you know, do all that you can to support that and help them. Want to say again, do you really, guard yourself with truth? I think, again, the best defense is a great offense. And a great offense is really not only knowing the Word of God and knowing the truth that God has given, then what we need to do is really take a look systematically at what Scripture is saying again and again and again and again and again. So I want you to hear tonight out of the book of 1 John. When you take a look there, there's tremendous things. Chapter 4 tells us, test the spirits to see whether they've come from God. Very important thing for us to do. The second thing, I think, as you look through here, you're going to see that again and again, the Spirit of God leads John to say things like, I'm writing to this to you so that you will not even sin a sin, that you won't fall into that. I'm writing this to you that you can know that you are saved. Then we come into chapter 2, where in verse 26 he's saying, I'm writing, this is the grapha, this is the writings. about those who are trying to lead you astray. So I want you to hear right now that it's vital, it's very important that we know that the intent of the Spirit of God was to give us insight. Now, if you read all of chapter 2 in 1 John, you're going to read about warning against the current antichrists, the many that began in that day, Antichristu. And so there's many antichrists and their presence in the world. We're not talking about just a false prophet or whatever else, but we're talking about those who present a different revelation claiming someone else is the Christ. So whether you hear that from some cult group today or in the New Age or wherever else, wherever there is a presentation of an Antichristu, the Antichrists, plural, then, well, the scripture says that's how you know it's the last hour. It also tells us that a Antichrist is coming. You've heard me say before, it is my opinion that he already exists in the world around us right now. I remember Steve and I, when we did the last three-hour show, that he even mentioned that it's a possibility that maybe the Antichrist would get a hold of that. I don't know. I have no doubt that he's aware of everything, that he's probably the most aware individual on the face of the earth. Has to be. But I want you to know that even in this day and hour when everything that we're talking about and you're hearing about and you're constantly hearing about, you know, all of the, and that's an important thing. It's what we do a lot of. Even the Word of God says that we're supposed to expose evil deeds of darkness. And we're supposed to do that. So when we look at the things that are around us today and say, you know what? This is not of God. You know what? This will not lead you to God. You know what? This is a warning. Look at the time we're in. Because as God seeks to approach the world, someone supernaturally is fighting to keep people from God. And he's using lies and he's using error. You can go to the book of 1 John in chapter 4 and read about the difference between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. And dear friends, revelation, information is coming down and has been given from both sides. The finite spirits continue to bring their information and to guide people away from God, away from Christ, into other experiences. And they're having real experiences. They're just not right. They're just not the ones that lead them to the heart and the face and the life of God. And so we're going to notice people, even Edgar Mitchell and others in the New Age and those among, you know, remote viewers. My question to them in the series that we've been doing is, how's come among every single remote viewer that I've read, I'm trying to read every single one of them, everyone that I've listened to, everyone that I've encountered, all the information that's coming from them, that the data that they're bringing in, the information that they're getting that they claim is coming from the Akashic Records or wherever else, is the same source, the same ultimate information that came, well, into Edgar Cayce, that came into Alice Bailey, that came into other occult writers. There is an identifying dogma and teaching that comes from the Akashic Records. The real Jesus Christ, well, they nix him, and they present a different little dumbed-down Jesus, a de-deified Jesus. They will call him a Jesus, but they literally don't know him and can't lead you to know him. And, well, it's about distraction. It's about preoccupation. So if you want to know truth, listen, divine appointment, this moment, the Spirit of Truth speaks to every heart and every life. Come to Christ. Jesus Christ says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Take a look at him. That's the important thing, that if you're an honest seeker, go to the Gospel of John, read it through, study it hard, take a look. There's two presentations. You can take a look at the occult Christ offered from you can go back to, again, Helena Blavatsky. You can go all the way over to Albert Pike. You can go to all these individuals. And thousands of cults all over the United States since the 60s. Every one of them will present a de-deified Christ. They're going to strip him from everything that he is, and the fake Christ can't help you. But as the Spirit of God led Isaiah and all those different writers to prophesy the coming living Christ, and then when he came and fulfilled all those prophecies, God in human flesh, Savior of the world, sinless, the demons feared him, creation responded and obeyed his voice, the elect angels of God worshipped him as God, even Thomas knelt down and cried out, "My Lord and my God," capital G. Well, when you come to know the living Christ, guess what happens? The Spirit of God comes in. It's the Spirit of truth. Truth breaks into you. And all of the scriptures that are called truth, the word of truth, are now opened up to you. They are now all for you. Once you are in Christ, all the promises, all the scriptures, every ounce of what is supernatural, infallible, inerrant, powerful, authoritative, and personal, it's all for you now. If you've been born of the Spirit of God and you've received the living Christ, you know that he's real. You see, I had real experiences back when I was into Buddhism. I had real experiences, they just were not right. When I came to the living Christ, he came into my life, the Spirit of God came in. Listen, that was the experience, well, that changed everything, that brought in the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. So when we think in terms of the offer of what's going on all around us, the smorgasbord of alternative spiritual streams, that behind the scenes all offer the same, you know, revelation, that you can evolve, that you can be humanly enhanced, that you can develop, that you can become elitists, that you can become God. And that's exactly what the fallen cherub did in Genesis 3. And I pray to God that if you have fallen into that, that the Spirit of God, the infinite Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, can help pull you out as you look at truth. Jesus said, "You shall know," Greek word gnosko, the idea of an experientially acquired, really that you know that you know that you know that you know. You shall know the truth, and that truth will set you free. Bring freedom from sin, freedom from the confusion, freedom from Satan himself. Because when Christ comes in and you are in that circle, the promise of protection, 1 John chapter 5, is given to you. The promise and the giving of authority, the call to put on the armor of God, the privilege of prayer that we talked about on Monday night, and the power that can be unleashed, the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Now listen, we're called, though, to take up the cross and follow Christ. We're called to get into the Word of God. Did you know something? I got to tell you something personally. When I came to Christ, I had no idea where to go. I just had a couple of verses that I knew, and I knew what it meant. You know, people would share how to get saved. I had to go to Kmart and buy the Bible and begin to learn. I didn't know one chapter. And I began to read and begin to read and begin to read, and you learn piece by piece by piece by piece. I knew the Bible was powerful, but I want to tell you a few things about it. The backdrop to the Bible, you know, again, 40 different writers from over 1,600 years that received the data, the revelation of the Spirit of God. One thing about all the writers, they all knew God on a personal level. They were all in relationship. And they knew God in a personal way, and they knew the Spirit of God was coming and carrying them along. They understood the inspiration and the Spirit of God that gave, preserved, and brought to us and to the world the simplicity of the Word of God. And here's simply the issue. It has power in it. They're literally, if you read Hebrews chapter 4, you're going to find out that the Logos, the Word of God, is living, active, it's powerful. There's power and there's life. You can't get saved without it. How can you believe on whom you've not heard? So if you're having a hard time coming to know Jesus, the reason the entire Gospel of John was written, when you read towards the end, it says, these were written that you might believe in Christ, and that by believing have eternal life. And so realize the entire book of the Gospel of John is a word of faith. It is, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the word of Christ. And so that's one thing. Get into the word of God. You have the word of faith. There's power. God is speaking. For the believer in Christ, every scripture verse and every promise and every revelation is for you. And let me tell you something. American Christianity is so preoccupied with the world around it that it has neglected so great a salvation, neglected so great a revelation. So I want you to know that when you are 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years old as a believer, I'm going to tell you, you should know the Word of God more and more and more and more. Listen, I'm 35 years into knowing. I'm 25 years into using the original Greek. I have a goal to master the Greek vocabulary, to know it very well. But I want to tell you something. Today I learn. Today I count on the Word of God. Today I count on truth. Truth protects me. Truth empowers me. Truth guides me. Truth is alive. Truth reveals. You know what truth does for us? It helps us in our personal relationship with God. I read in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 that there is a throne of grace. Not a throne of confusion. Not a throne of hard knocks. Not a throne of resistance. But the Bible says that it's a throne of grace. And the Holy Spirit tells us, in truth, to come with boldness. You know what the Greek word means? With freedom of access. With freedom of access. God wants you to come. I loved it all the days of my life as a father when my daughter was young. She never had to fear approaching me. She didn't have to come from a distance, and have somebody announce, is it okay to come into your presence? You know, there was no, you know, she didn't have to come and, you know, bow down. She just came. She jumped into my lap. I'm her daddy. I want you to know that God, in all the immensity, is also incredibly the most personal. You have read Romans 8, right? Romans chapter 8. You know what it says, right? That we have not received the spirit of the world. I mean, this spirit of fear that leads to bondage. We receive the spirit of God. The spirit of adoption, sonship, that we might cry out, Abba, Father. So I can have immediacy. Like right now. I'm in the presence of God. You and I that believe in Jesus, we are a temple of the Spirit of God. His presence is unbroken, unceasing. You might not be aware of it all the time, but truth, the revelation of the Spirit of God in Scripture, reveals that God says, come with confidence, boldness, before the throne of grace. Go ahead and come before me to let me know about your needs. Now that's God inviting us. And so I think that when we really begin to understand truth, you know, in our relationship, in our walk, and, as the Scripture begins to broaden our picture of how vast, mighty, and great, and good God is, and it never ends, because we're talking about infinite. On this side, and even when we're glorified in those indestructible, immortal bodies, and looking at God face to face, we can continue to grow. Can you come to the end of God? No. The finite can't. That's why the fallen cherub, a finite, powerful being, cannot evolve and become God. That's what Luciferians don't understand. That's what Albert Pike and the crew and the Masons don't understand. That's what New Agers by the hundreds of millions don't understand. The finite cannot evolve. There's no evolution of human consciousness coming. There's a planetary spiritual wave, darkness, a inverted satanic Pentecost coming. Two of those. The great chaos, and then later on, Armageddon. Neither one occurs without a massive unleash of demonic presence. And again, where do I know that from? I've listened to the undergrounders, man. I've dealt with them for years. But I have to come to the scriptures and say, well, what does the prophetic language of God say? It tells me of a great revolt. A great revolt, an event that will occur prior to the apocalypse of Anthropos Anamos, the man of lawlessness. It tells me in chapter 16 of Revelation of the mother of all rituals, the release, a planetary release of spiritual power that draws the kings of the earth to Armageddon. Military men, in the sight of God, I know my urgency, and I only, as one human being to another, can beg you to listen that God, in truth, has spoken to warn political and military leaders of the world. You're the targets of the pinnacle of the satanic deception, power, presence, an agenda. Now, we've talked about that enough. And again, if you're wanting to know where we have a lot of materials, if you're listening and you're only able to listen on Tuesdays, listen, go to shatterthedarkness.net. And there's probably hundreds there, and it will lead you to many others of, broadcast, podcast, interviews, all kinds of things that we've done. And we do a broadcast podcast thing. We put up and upload. We're doing one on discernment. We're doing a series on discernment right now. We're doing a series on the Antichrist right now. We're doing a series, a brand new course has started too on spiritual gifts. But there's a lot of things there, and somebody has written in about the archives. And if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, right where it says live radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6 p.m. and Tuesday at 7, then you'll see the phrase archives. You click on to archives here. When you see the word archives here, you click onto that, and then all the archives of these live shows we're doing, I'm trying to put up there and have for you. So if you're missing anything. But there's just many other things, and that's why I'm saying the number one thing, stay saturated in Scripture. I want to encourage you this week to get into the book of 1 John, to take a look of it, to look at it again and again and again, because you know what it is? It is the Spirit of God purifying the early church, the body of Christ, keeping them locked into truth. You even have in the second chapter of 1 John, you know what it says? That we've all, past tense in the aorist too, it's the aorist in the Greek, we've received an anointing from the Holy One, the Spirit of God. We receive the anointing. Notice what we see here. We're told that we didn't receive a counterfeit. As a believer in Jesus and receiving the Spirit of God, you didn't receive a counterfeit because counterfeits are out there. But you received the real thing. The real anointing of God comes as the gift of the Spirit of God given to you the moment you believe in Jesus. And I'm just simply reading right now in verse 26. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Have we heard this? I mean, John is literally led by the Spirit of God to say, listen, I'm writing, and there's, an inspiration. I'm writing you by the Spirit of God because of those who are right now trying to lead you astray. I want to tell you right now, there are people that are trying to lead individuals astray because they're inspired by fallen spirits, demons. They've got dogma and doctrine themselves, and they're motivated, and they're going to come to you, and they're going to tell you their experiences, and they're real, but they're deadly, and they're wrong, and they blind them all the more from the simplicity of truth in Christ. Now in verse 27, he says, as for you, those who are believers, those who are born again, the anointing you received, again, the idea of past tense, the moment of salvation, from him remains, meno is the Greek word, abides, dwells in you. Now, when he says this phrase, and you don't need anyone to teach you, he's saying that to the backdrop that the Gnostics in those early alternative spiritual movements, they're saying you can't ascend to the next level without one of our people to lead you there, one of our people to teach you. Only those who've already experienced and come to you and lead you to the next level spiritually, to the next initiation, to the next spiritual experience. So you need these special teachers that you usually got to give favors to or pay money to, and they have the secret. You don't need that. Why? You don't need what occult teaching is giving you. You don't need what Alice Bailey and all the rest of them are saying. You don't need that. You don't need to go to Sedona to feel spiritual vortexes. That's God's land. That's God's land. And people now are not seeing God's revelation of his nature, his divine. Look at Romans 1. All of creation speaks of the living personal God, his divine attributes and power and nature, and men are without excuse. But again, the fallen spirits are going to try to turn it around and use even creation, created things, and divert you from God. Now, I pray that you'll come out of that if you've been into it. And I want you to know that if you come to Christ in an anointing, a charisma, the Spirit of God comes in, the Spirit of truth, and he's inside the believer, this anointing teaches us. And we're told here the anointing is real, not counterfeit. And what does the anointing do? It teaches us to remain in Christ. You know the focus? Christ. Let me tell you again tonight, quickly, in these last few moments. You know, the Word of God, the author is the Spirit of God. It's living, it's powerful, it builds your faith. When you read in 1 John chapter 2, you're going to read about young believers that are strong, that have overcome the evil one. The Greek word Nike, meaning they have had a decisive victory over Satan and whatever else Satan's trying to do. How's come? How could it be that a believer is strong and has overcome the evil one? Because it says this right there in chapter 2, verse John 2. Because the word of God dwelt, meno is the Greek word, lived, dwells in. How does that happen? Because they've believed it. They put it into practice. Listen, when you receive the Word of God and put it into practice, guess what happens? You become stronger. And you have empowerment that enables you to have victory. You know, over the world, the flesh and the devil, in Christ. All of it's there for us, but we need to know some things. We need to be refreshed. We need to be reminded. We need to realize that when we're studying the Word of God as a believer in Christ, we are in an interactive personal relationship. See, I realize that as I'm doing this right now. And I hope that as you're listening right now that it's an interaction. Because listen, if you're not a believer in Jesus, I'm just simply saying to you, I'm calling you as one human being, come to Christ. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus can be right now saved. Christ can come in. He wants to come in. He wants to save you. It's the will of God. He summons you. Come to Christ. Write to us if you come to accept Christ. We want to help you. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. Dear friends, I'm in the place of privilege here as I get to speak to you tonight and share with you a few of these things. Last night, know the impending danger. You can't hide from it. You can't avoid it. Know what's out there. Know what's going on. You can expose it. You don't be afraid. But tonight, know the truth, the Word of God. Know more. We'll see you Wednesday night at 6 p.m. We're going to deal with knowing the weapons that we have in Christ, knowing the power of God and the weapons that we have in Christ. Hey, God bless you. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.